Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you work anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Today, we're talking about the lockout, a technique to help you win more government contracts. Or if you're on the government side, a technique to help you smooth the acquisition process a little bit. It fits right in with our old slogan, making government contracting better one contract at a time. You can start making your contracts better one contract at a time by joining us in the Contracting Officer Podcast group on LinkedIn. Okay, let's get started with the lockout. Why are we talking about lockouts again?
I was giving a training session at a Society of American Military Engineers, SAMI conference in Tampa last week. And by the way, thank you, Jeff Duguid, for inviting me. And it was also cool to meet Robert Luft, one of our customers at this conference. So it's really cool. Anyway, I gave a presentation on targeting, which, you know, is my favorite topic.
Of course.
One of the parts of targeting that really seemed to resonate with people was this concept of the lockout. And someone asked me after the presentation, do you have an episode on the lockout? And since we didn't, figured let's make one.
And here we are.
In this episode, we'll unlock the lockout.
Oh.
I couldn't resist.
All right. Let's stop and say thanks.
I want to say thanks this week to Jason Royce from SDV International. SDV International is a professional services firm focused on program management, IT, and healthcare management. Thanks to Jason for sharing his input on how he found the podcast and how he uses the episodes. He specifically described what types of content he uses most and why. That kind of context helps us a lot, because when we have a deeper understanding of what our listeners are looking for from the podcast, we can create better episodes.
Thanks, Jason. Back to lockouts. What is a lockout? A lockout is something that, imagine this, locks out your competitors. So for industry, the elusive goal that you're going after is to build a competitive advantage that lets you compete on something other than price. As a result, that advantage lets you lock everyone else out.
And lockouts apply for the government as well. The elusive goal for the government is that the requirement and the acquisition strategy lock out just enough competitors that you get offers who really can deliver for you. And you weed out the ones who are just throwing darts.
A lockout is something that's unique to you or your company, something that only you can do, or only you can do as well as you can do it. There's almost an endless amount of different lockouts.
There are static lockouts, such as a patent or specialized knowledge.
Like a trade secret.
A trade secret, or an ecosystem that you've built, like Apple has an ecosystem that is a lockout for them. Or you have key people. You have the five people who have this experience in the world.
Yep. You have the guy that invented it and nobody else knows what he did, right?
There are also lockouts based on proven performance. In your past, you may have really strong recent and relevant past performance that no one else has. Or if maybe in the future where you have the best warranty or the highest quality based on your performance.
You created that expectation that you have better quality, higher quality than your competitors. Like just this morning, I had a guy say, it's a Toyota. It'll run forever, right? That's an expectation that people have built that Toyota cars don't break.
There are also dynamic lockouts, things like your most responsive customer service. There are companies that's what they're known for. They have most reliable service, meaning it always, always, always works. Or you could have something like the most helpful employees. Your lockout could be that people come to you because your employees are so responsive and knowledgeable in how to solve their problem, they won't go anywhere else.
Those lockouts based on reputation and those based on your daily activities, like the most responsive customer service, those are so fragile. It doesn't take much for you to lose that reputation.
However, lowest price is not a sustainable lockout. There's always somebody who can do it cheaper. Lowest price only serves a particular customer set anyway.
Right. Not everyone wants lowest price. So when we talked about these lockouts, you could, for a short time, be the lowest price, but somebody's going to figure out how to knock you off that perch. And your customers may not want the lowest price item. They may want something with higher quality or better features or better performance, which rarely comes at the lowest price.
or they may want lowest price the first time, but they're not going to be a repeat customer because they decide they want something that actually works. It's not as cheap next time. And so that's why it's not a sustainable lockout.
Lockouts are not permanent. Patents expire, technology changes, your competitors adapt. They won't let you hold on to a lockout for very long if they can help it.
Yeah, you can't sit on a lockout. And there are lots of stories of companies that had a lockout until they didn't.
There is, however, a catch with lockouts. They don't always work.
There's always a catch. Even the great ideas, there's always a catch.
Your target customers must value your lockout. So what if you have a patent? If it's not something they care about, if they don't need specifically what that patent covers, it doesn't have any value to them. If you have specialized knowledge that they don't utilize or that they don't need, that's great. You have a competitive advantage in something that they don't want to buy.
And your great service might not be that valuable to them. Some people care about great service. Some people don't. Not everybody shops at Nordstrom's. Not everybody stays at the Ritz. Some people are going to shop on price, period.
Since we're here preaching about lockouts, tell me how you use lockouts, Kevin.
Skyway's lockout is that we have a team of former contracting officers who understand government contracting from both sides. The idea is we use specialized experience to guide our customers through the government buying process. Therefore, for us, targeting includes those who have a prime or subcontract with the government because they'll value what a contracting officer is. And they've also listened to this podcast because they know that we know what we're talking about. Without these two, they're much less likely to see the value of the contracting officer's viewpoint. In other words, they don't care. Because if they don't have the context of understanding the contracting officer's perspective, then they don't value our single biggest advantage, which is that team of former contracting officers. If they don't value it, then it's not really an advantage.
It's like you are the best at selling something red, and the government puts out an RFP that says, please propose all your blue things. It doesn't matter if you are the best at the red ones because they're not interested in those. They don't value red, they value blue. If it doesn't have value to that customer, then it's not a lockout. You either need to find a new lockout or you need to find new customers.
And targeting is the way to make sure you engage those who value your lockout.
We've been talking about this mostly from the industry's perspective on how you identify, build your lockout, target with it. You have to remember, though, that the government is not necessarily looking to award to one contractor. The government wants competition. Contracting officers need it, or they have to write all kinds of justifications that may not be possible to write.
There's a balancing act here because a lockout is designed to eliminate competition, which is the very thing that the contracting officer is required to have.
The government is required to have competition, but they can also target. And we've talked about that before in our many targeting podcasts. The government is looking to target tightly enough to minimize the number of interested parties, but not limit it to one where there's a sole source justification. If they target too tightly based on a lockout, on one offeror's lockout, then they risk getting all that pushback from industry based on the requirement being unduly restrictive. You know, only one company can do it.
And unduly restrictive is one of those phrases we should, at some point, we'll do a whole separate podcast about because that's a rabbit hole. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. Is it a lockout creates an unduly restrictive environment, which goes against a lot of the principles of the FAR. So hence the balancing act.
Yeah, it's essentially writing the requirement so that only one company can do it. And
correct.
That's a bad thing. The ultimate lockout is a monopoly. An example of that is the United Launch Alliance, which had the space launch business locked up. Lockheed Martin and Boeing essentially got tired of competing with each other and not making money on launches. So they created a joint venture called United Launch Alliance. Because they were the only two companies that made rockets that were certified, that were accepted by the Air Force, they had over a decade-long monopoly on launching payloads for the government.
Oh, that's a lockout.
but lockouts don't last forever. A few years back, the Air Force awarded a block buy of 22 launches to ULA. But by then, what do you know? SpaceX, Blue Origin, there are other companies that could now launch payloads into space. SpaceX actually had to submit a claim, a protest, to get that sole source decision overturned. For years, there were no alternatives. The government could safely write a sole source justification. No one else can do this. Now other companies can.
And just like that, ULA no longer has a lockout. Even if you've got one, you can't sit on it.
Why is it important to understand the lockout concept? Without a lockout, your company risks being a commodity seller. And what happens to commodities? They
compete on price.
Way to finish my thought. That was awesome.
I thought you were leading me there. It's fine. Lockouts also help both the buyer and the seller to target. If you know what you're good at and what you're better at than other people and what your customers also agree that you're better at than other people, now you're leading toward a lockout. And on the government side, you're looking for people that their customers have agreed that they're better than everybody else at doing. You want people who are focused on what you're looking for, that some of the best at what they do. That's how it helps both buyer and seller. Without clearly defining your lockout, you risk being treated like everybody else. And when all of the things are equal, what do you have left? Price.
If you can't differentiate why you're more valuable, then all we have to go on is price. Sometimes a lockout is not possible, and that's okay, as long as you recognize the situation and recognize that you're not competing on any differentiation at all. You're competing on price at that point. Let's pause here and link this to the acquisition and execution time zones.
And if you're not familiar with the time zones, acquisition time zones are in episode 3 and execution time zones are in episode 84.
On the acquisition time zone side, the concept of lockouts starts with the requirement zone. The government is writing the requirements. If you're the only one that makes something and they want to buy it, they may be writing requirements based on what you do. When you move to the market research zone, they're comparing the requirements they met with industry's capabilities. If you can convince them that you're at that point that yours is better, suddenly the requirements start to look like what you sell. And this all comes together in the RFP zone when that final RFP comes out. Has the RFP properly targeted industry so that there are enough people that can compete, but not every company in the world can compete for it?
Yeah, it's the balancing act.
On the execution time zone side, you're thinking about this during the recompete zone. If you're the government, you're trying to figure out, did you target enough? Did you get what you wanted last time if you're going to recompete it? Do you need to restrict the competition down to fewer competitors, or do you need to open up to new people? If you're on the industry side, you're trying your best to convince the government that you are the only company on the planet that can do this work so that they just write a sole source justification to not recompete it, to hand it to you without competition.
Or at a minimum, and what's more likely, is that they keep the requirement in such a way that you have so much expertise, so much past performance, so much, whatever your strengths are, whatever your lockouts are, so they're written into that requirement. Because sole source after a competition may be tough to pull off, but your goal is to keep those lockouts on the table, your lockouts, throughout the recompete process.
Let's talk specifically from the government side. The government is trying to figure out who is really good at solving the problem you have. Who can do the best job on schedule for the best price? By understanding different companies' lockouts, the government can limit the competition to just the most qualified companies by writing to sort of the fringes of that lockout. You can't have it so just one product or service satisfies the requirement, but you can have it so only a few can satisfy your requirement.
You're getting the right amount of competition. You're getting just enough.
Which is?
Three.
Three.
Three competitors.
Three bidders is perfect for Kevin.
And you're also getting providers who really know what they're doing. I mean, if it's their lockout, this is what they do. They're exceptionally good at it, should have great past performance, great reputation, etc.
It can also help you get reasonable prices. Instead of people that are guessing too high or too low because they don't really understand or it's not their specialty, there's a better chance that you won't have those price outliers. But if it's too locked out, then you end up with monopoly pricing. And this goes back to United Launch Alliance, right? They didn't have a lot of incentive to be competitive on price because they're the only people that could launch.
Exactly. That's the extreme of the lockout.
On the industry side, remember, what do people default to if they don't see and value a lockout?
Price. Without a lockout or some similar competitive advantage, you risk competing on price alone. That's the basis of the commodity. You're just competing on price.
So you want to align your opportunities. You want to target and shape acquisitions towards your lockout.
Your lockout should be related to what you do, not what you are. In other words, your NAICS code, your small business size status, your location, those are advantages or tools, but they're not lockouts.
Hundreds of companies can claim the same small business status. Hundreds of companies are in the same NAICS code as you. And we have a separate episode on NAICS code, NAICS, if you're interested in that. A real lockout leads to a sole source contract. This means that you're the only person that can do this job, and the government can justify that, and they give you a contract without you having to compete.
That's a lower percentage of awards. Yeah, that's the goal, is that from the industry side, right? Of course, ironically, that's not the goal from the government. More likely is a lockout of some competitors, but not everybody, right? A library services move contract that I bought once. Moving stuff, lots of companies can do. Moving libraries, that's pretty specialized. When you stack that on top of where it was on a military base, it was a certain size, et cetera. And you have to pick up all the stuff from the library, move it to the next building and put it back because it's a library. It's got to be organized, right? In exactly the same order. So companies that had experience, had documented past performance moving a 400,000 square foot library. It wasn't a lockout, but it's pretty, pretty close.
Hundreds of companies can claim to be movers. They have a truck, they have some people, and they can put stuff in boxes and carry it from one place to the next. But to pack it, document it, and get it put back in the right place quickly and efficiently at the lowest price, that's pretty specialized. All right, I think this is a good place to wrap it up, Kevin.
On the government side, target your market research and your RFPs so that providers can use their lockouts. Let them compete on their advantage. Competitive advantage is a good thing. It drives industry to bring it. This is what they do, is what they're really, really good at. On the industry side, what's your lockout? Everyone has one, right? If not, you're literally competing on price alone. If you can't think of one thing that is your lockout, you're only going to be competing on price.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
And to find it, consider why you won the last contract you have. Or why do customers come to you? And maybe use the commercial examples if you also have commercial work. Why are people coming to you? Why do they keep coming back to you? Those are indicators of what your lockout is.
Yeah, if you don't understand your competitive advantage, if you don't understand what you do better than anyone else, how can you possibly convince a customer to buy from you? We've talked a lot about targeting here. We have separate episodes on targeting, and we've talked about shaping. All of that happens around your lockout. You understand your lockout. Like you said, it allows you to focus on targeting customers that understand the value of your lockout. And if they don't, it allows you to shape the requirements, shape the acquisition, to talk to them, explain to them why what you do is so valuable to them. You shape the resulting RFP and the whole acquisition strategy so that they want to buy what you do best. It's the way the system works. All right. I'll talk to you later, Kevin.
All right, see you, Paul.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining us. Find your lockout and win more government business with Skyway Acquisitions help. Visit askskyway.com or call Skyway Acquisition at 877-884-5280. We'll see you next week.